Welcome to Real Talk, Real Women, Breaking the Silence Around Abuse. I am Gemma Serenity Gorokoff, your host, and today, coming from Ontario, Canada, we have Pamela O'Neill. She has a one-of-a-kind story for our show. So listen, because not everybody has that story, and it's all about speaking up. Let's get started. Thank you for being here, Pamela. Thank you so, so much. So tell us a little bit your story, and where does this picking up come from? What happened with you, around you?
So speaking up, so it comes from my book. So I published a book just in October called Speaking Up About a Mental Health Crisis. And so that's where the speaking up comes from. And I was speaking up about mental health in the book and my journey with mental health. That's through my family, my own personal journey, and with work as well. So I've had, some traumatic experiences that have happened. With all of those. So yeah, I wrote about it and released that in October.
So tell us a little bit, you said some traumatic experience. So what is your relationship with mental health? Let's start here. What do you know about mental health? What did you experience? Who did you grow up with? What is your mental health story?
Yeah, so from the time I was young, I have an uncle who has schizophrenia, and my mom has been his caregiver. So I grew up seeing how she was affected by that, and also how it affected our family. Just the way that my uncle was treated sometimes too, and how people stigmatized against him. And then I grew up in a very religious family. So, that was a bit constrictive when I was younger, and I didn't really realize how that affected me until later years. In my later years, I decided to go into mental health and, see how I could make a difference, because I have that compassion and empathy for people who are going through those things. And, during the pandemic, I struggled with my own mental health. I had a really difficult time with the isolation, and it was just after a traumatic experience at work where a coworker of mine was murdered by a client. And there was, some safety concerns at work where, I had tried to speak up about, but was largely ignored. And so that really, really took a toll on me. And I didn't, at the time I didn't know how to handle that. So I had to, really, really dig deep and, try and figure out how did this happen? And, Why has this been my life, with mental health? Like, why are things the way that they are? And it's not just me. It's so many people are struggling with it. So,
thank you for sharing that. I'm so sorry. Such an horrific things happen. And you say that you were speaking up about it and were ignored. So you said that you started to work in a mental health setting, meaning an institution.
Yeah, I worked for I worked as a youth and family counselor for a company that primarily dealt with youth anywhere from the ages to 5 up to 17, it was one of the clients there that that ended up they shouldn't have probably been in that type of facility because it wasn't like a secured facility. It was like a residential type. And, there was clinical, clinicians there and us as counselors were there. But this individual tended to be a bit more violent. And so, he probably needed a different type of facility to be at. Those were types of things that, we were taking on constantly, and people were getting hurt at work. And it was just something that really no one wanted to talk about. We would have like our team meetings and, you know, some people would say some things, but there was one time, you know, I said, you know, so I told you with my mom and her brother. So one time my uncle, he tried to kill my mom. So I knew that when someone is in a psychosis, there are, you know, things that can escalate very quickly. And there was a fear in me that I could see that happening in this place. And so I said something about that. And yeah, they turned around and said, well, maybe there's something in you that needs to change. I was, okay. So yeah, they kind of turned it back on me. And yeah, and lo and behold, not more than 6 or 7 months after that, someone was murdered.
It really sounds awful, because if I understand correctly, you saw how your uncle could turn suddenly against his caregiver. So you saw the risk and you are aware of the risk of working with people who have psychosis, and that can escalate very fast and very bad and violent. So you saw that. So you were aware of that while working in this same setting. And then when you see one of the residents who seems to have a so violent propension, violent propensities, and it becomes delicate, the management team answers back to you, well, work on yourself, because it's not because your uncle did that to your mother that this resident will do that to you or any other, right? Something along those lines, is that correct?
Yeah, so yeah. I was brought into a meeting with my managers and just told that like the company wasn't going to change the way that they did things. And so I would have to be the one who changed and be comfortable, I guess, the way that I would be able to work in that environment. So yeah, they didn't take responsibility for, yeah, because it was happening almost daily where so we were dealing with residents who had like addictions and they're going through treatment, right? And so I understand, you know, it's a very, very tough time for them too. And so you want to be able to work with them as best as you can. But the companies that do house these people, they do need to also think of the worker safety. And, you know, if we say that something's wrong because we're the frontline workers, you know, we're the first point of contact. It's not the ones in management who see these things happening most of the time. It's the ones who are working directly. We need to be taken seriously.
Yeah. So you spoke up. You were turned down, asking yourself to change and not removing the residents who were not a good fit for the residency. And from there, you were let go of. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I was let go after about 8 or 9 months of working there. I had already like invested, you know, with all my training and integrating into the company. And so this was going to be my career there, you know, I really wanted, and I thought, you know, I might be able to make a difference there with things. So it was really hard to want to make that difference and then be shut out. Just made to feel like that I was not a good fit. If I could go back in time, you know, I would just say the things that I said, but I would say them louder, until somebody really, really took a stand. And yeah, because it could have saved a life, could have saved many lives, because now also this person is in jail, and so his life is also affected.
I mean, it is definitely something to talk about and definitely something to not let go of. I was thinking back about your story just before you came on air, and I was wondering, yeah, speaking louder, or maybe say the thing that they must hear, not how you feel, but there is a dangerous individual within the residence. That person already displayed violent behaviors. They are just allowed to be addicts. Okay, and to deal with their addiction, that's one thing. But becoming violent becomes another department. We must do something about that. I see it. And writing write-ups, talks, emails. Like a much more insisting way of doing that. It feels like because you have your own story and your own uncle and your own insecurities, they actually rode that wave to get rid of you. Instead of listening to what you are seeing and saving another, a colleague of yours. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
Yeah, and
definitely.
that's the
That's
point.
that is how they portrayed me to be. When I was, it was for sure a fear, but it was a legitimate fear. And you know, when you have those fears, you hope that somebody is going to listen. And as you said, like maybe saying the like sending emails or doing something, and I actually did that too. And I was also told that it was unprofessional to send an email, because everybody in our, like everyone would receive it that was working within our program. So because we all shared the same computer and we had just like the one office where we all shared. So anything that we would say, other people would see it. But I was okay with that. I was okay with other people seeing it because other people were, you know, in the background, they would say something, but they would never bring it to a manager. They would never say, yeah. So I was kind of in that moment, kind of speaking for everybody who was fearful because they had also been hurt. Yeah. So I just, yeah, I just got, I guess I was the one who took the fall for that. And
But the others, one of the others got killed, murdered because of a psychosis that got unhandled. And now that person who did that horrific act probably regrets it. I don't know. Depends the kind of mental illness it was actually about. And he's now in jail, waiting, paying his time, wondering. Feeling like a criminal when he was just an addict at first. Maybe there was more, but the care was not appropriate for that kind of things. What do you think can be done nowadays? Because you are not the first one who happens to have that kind of circumstance. It's rare that someone dies in the hand of a resident, but it's not rare that people get hurt in your position. That's not rare. What do you think shall be done and shall be implemented now and for the foreseeable future in order to prevent that kind of things? What are you really speaking up about?
Yeah, so what I think, you know, because I had worked other places prior to that where We were always with someone else. We were never left alone. And we had security. So there would be someone there who would be more trained to handle a crisis situation like that when it escalates to the point of having a weapon. Because this lady, she was stabbed to death. So yeah, when someone's coming at you with a knife and you are trained with nonviolent crisis intervention or therapeutic crisis intervention, you know, you're not trained to protect yourself from that. So there needs to be another level of safety put in place for the workers, regardless of, you know, because, yeah, that's what they said. They were a therapeutic, you know, company. So they didn't want to have security on campus or, you know, have that type of environment portrayed. But then that gave the people there no fear either. Like, they knew that they could get away with something. So.
And how do you have any idea how the company handled that stabbing to death of your colleague?
I was at the funeral. Okay. And I didn't see any of those managers that I had spoken to there. I had a feeling that people were still afraid that they might lose their jobs because I had been let go. And I actually had, so we were unionized, and there was a union rep who said to me that they weren't sure if I should, because I filed a grievance over it, and they told me that they weren't sure if that was a good idea. And they said that this was at a union rally, that they didn't want to end up like me. So you have people, because they worked there too, and they were in a higher up position. And so they used it against me, like to say those things and to say, you know, like, I don't want to end up like you. Well, then they're just perpetuating everything. And they're the ones who have the power to do something.
But the real topic, and it feels that what happened in your case is that instead of hearing the real problem, which was the resident is not in the right residency, that person doesn't have the right support and care, that person is not the resident is not at the right place. It sounds like, oh no, the nurse practitioners are not the right people to work there because they cannot handle that kind of case. Oh no, I cannot speak up, otherwise I'm going to lose my job. And I mean, it is a complete reversal of the problem. This is what I understand from your story. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct, yeah. Because in any workplace, you know, like, we're the ones who are, well, so the client is doing the work too, because they're having to work on themselves at that time. You know, they're in treatment. They're, you know, but we're the ones working with them. And yeah, it needs to be just taken seriously. Like, those are not, like, these are not everyday, like, I guess it's not like a regular office, you know, where you're just going in, doing your work, going home. Like, as a social worker, you really invest in your work and your clients and everything. So yeah.
So I guess my next question for you, Pamela, you went through hell and back. How are you dealing with that kind of trauma that stops you a little bit from speaking up because you have such a bad experience, but then you publish a book about speaking up. So what is inside your book and what is your mission now?
Yeah, so my mission is to help end the stigma of mental health in general, so that people who do need to talk about their mental health aren't stigmatized, aren't felt judged, because and that can go for anyone and including workers. So yeah, I had to, well, writing my story really helped me. It was very cathartic to write my book, and just I have also a background in communications and journalism, so I did that prior to becoming a social worker. So writing was always, you know, a way that I express myself. So it just seemed natural to want to do that. And yeah, also with what was happening with the pandemic. So we were isolated. And so I had a lot more time to be able to think about these things. And that's, you know, I had to go inward and I had to really work on that trauma myself and look for help. You know, it's okay to ask for help and it's okay to say, you know what, I don't think I can do this alone. And there was no way I would have been able to get through that time by myself. So I had mentors who helped me. I had a group of wonderful ladies who, they were also writing books at the time, so we shared our stories with each other. And that's what helped me feel more accepted with things that were happening. Because I felt, just like excluded and isolated, and, you know, that no one really was listening at that time. So
I totally empathize with you and understand where you come from. And I'm sorry that your story has been perverted into a nurse practitioner problem or exactly the name of your type of work problem. I mean, workers problem instead of the true issue, which was there is a resident that is not a fit for that residency. We have to do something about that. So we have actually to write into the folder of that patient specifically, because that is a problem. Instead of writing on your own folder, you worker, and then the worker becomes a problem because the worker speaks up, that is wrong. That is so wrong. My God.
Yeah, it's okay. It's the way that we, you know, things can get twisted if it's not regulated. Like, there needs to be it. Like, I always felt like there wasn't people checking in necessarily maybe on this company. Like, they were in good standing, but there was just, you know, things got hush-hushed or hidden. So until those things get uncovered, you can't deal with it if there's no truth being shared.
That's true. One of the first things that has to happen is truth, trust, being able to speak up and be heard by the right people, being believed when you say something, and not fear for your job because you speak up. That's ridiculous. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Right. So we have your book, Speaking Up. Show us again the cover of your book. Speaking up about a mental health crisis. Yeah. Okay. By Pamela O'Neill. Okay. Let's get that book and let's talk about a mental health crisis, how to handle it, what to do, who to refer, how to protect yourself from a mental health crisis, how to protect yourself when you are in a mental health crisis yourself. Because this is all important topics, so that there is no stigma, but there is a protocol of actions. When that happens, this is what you do. Simple. There is no fear. It's just a fact. And everybody follows those same patterns so that it works for everybody. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Pamela, thank you so much. How can people reach out to you? What is your website?
So my website is PamelaROneal.com.
Okay.
Yeah, and they can also reach out to me on social media.
Yes.
So Pamela R. O'Neill on Facebook and at Speaking Up About Mental Health on Instagram. I'm also on LinkedIn at Pamela O'Neill.
All right. Perfect. So thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being with us today, because what you shared is essential, is important, and we have to know with the public. So thank you for speaking up.
Thank you so much for having me.